Live from the Third Coast, it is our time to focus on where genealogy and spirit connect, a time to focus on our connection with ourselves and our past. Here's your host, Susan E. King.
I'm here. Finally. Yes, we had to take a week off last week. We had a house full of workmen, I think. Something's on the move, and maybe we'll talk about it in some future date. But in any event, it's glad to be back, and I'm glad to see this bright yellow ball on my weather icon here. We've got some sunshine for the first time in I don't know how long. I don't know about the rest of the world, but down here on the Third Coast, it's been very cold, very chilly, and very little sunshine to speak of. So it's a beautiful day, and boy, am I glad to be with everybody. And, you know, one of the things that we do here on Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect is talk about how important it is to learn about yourself through the study of your ancestors. And one of the real exciting things that is happening, and it's starting this Friday night on NBC, is a new series. And this series takes into account some of the historical background of seven popular stars. And we're going to talk a little bit about what this series is all about and what the importance of it is. Because, you know, here in the United States, we really are a melting pot of different people. And whether you're a star or you're just a normal human being, a normal person like we are, you know, we still have some of the same situations, the same themes that reiterate through our past. And, you know, some of the shows that we've been doing, I think, have been really interesting because, you know, we've talked with people that, you know, have had murder mysteries that we've been able to solve, and we have people who have been adopted, and, you know, we've been able to, you know, talk about the feeling of abandonment that comes from people who are adopted. We've talked about people who have ancestors that, you know, were murdered in the Holocaust. We've talked to people who are of African American ancestry and how difficult and sometimes how easy it is to really locate, you know, your ancestors who were involved in some of the slavery issues in the Deep South during those periods. So, you know, really all of us have themes in our lives and themes in our past that are very important and really have molded us to who we are today. And, you know, I think that the series is very exciting. I mean, for those of us who've been in the genealogy world now for many, many years, the title of the series is Who Do You Think You Are? And I've had to laugh because for those of us who are in the industry, I think we are some of those who know who we are because we've been researching for many, many, many years. I'm very excited to have as our guest today one of the individuals who is a genealogist with Ancestry.com, who is involved in some of the research for some of the episodes in the series, and her name is Anastasia Tyler. Anastasia, welcome. And I'm not sure we have her.
Can you hear me? I'm here.
I can. Okay. Now I can.
All right. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, boy. We're excited to have you on the show. I think this is probably one of the most exciting series that is going to be on network television, you know, in many, many decades that really speaks to the history of the people who live in our country.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. You know, it has the potential, I believe, and to be as big as Roots was in the late 70s, you know, to do what for genealogy today, what Roots did back then, and to just help people get excited about their family history and want to and find that passion to start researching it.
You know, I think, too, I agree with you. And you know, I was thinking about it overnight, and what I normally do before a show is, you know, even when times are tough, like they are in our country today, is that sometimes by going back and researching our history, we kind of realize how tough things really were.
And, yeah.
And, you know, and too, it really does allow us to see things, I think, in a whole different light than maybe how we see things today as we're living through some, you know, tough situations. So with that said, how did this series come to be?
Oh, well, that's a great question. I'm sure many of your listeners know the show started out approximately 6 years ago in the United Kingdom. And they, since then, they've done the family histories and shows on about 50 people. It's a very, very popular show over there. And it's, you know, let's see, like in the last season, they would have more than 5 million viewers tuned in to watch the show. And that's huge for the United Kingdom. Very, very popular show. And, you may know the Who Do You Think You Are Live? They have a conference, kind of a big expo in downtown London. And that brings in 12,000 people. And that's just huge for a genealogy, event. So over there, it's been a very successful, and the production decided they'd like to try it and see how it would do in the United States, and definitely has huge potential in the United States with so many people who are interested in tracing their roots. And we see more and more, just in general, people have, like Alex Haley said, this hunger marrow deep to find their roots, and we see that more and more. And so bringing the show to America is just the right time, and it's very exciting.
You know, I agree with you. I think the timing is right. And, you know, one of the things that I have been a proponent of and very strong is that, you know, genealogy really is a family affair. It's something where families can actually work together and connect with relatives and really even remove some schisms that may have existed in previous generations between families. And I've seen that time and time and time again, because a lot of the stories that are passed down, the younger generations really don't know what these stories are, and they make contact with cousins and relatives and things through, you know, not only ancestry, but some of the social networking, and all of a sudden, you know, some of these schisms that existed in families really kind of, you know, blow away. So, yeah, this is really exciting, and I want to really encourage all of our listeners. The show, begins to air this Friday night. I think it's 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, yeah. NBC. And encourage all of you, if do have Friday night plans, put on that recorder and make sure that you record this. And I think it's important, too, that you share this time with family. I think it's something that really should be watched in a group and not singularly. So I want to encourage everybody to do that. The show is being produced by Lisa Kudrow, as I understand it.
Yes, yeah. She has her production company, Is or Isn't Entertainment, is the producers of it. And Lisa tells a story that when she was over in Ireland, and she actually saw an episode of Who Do You Think You Are, the British version, and it just hooked her. And, you know, her dad is a genealogist. And so it just, the show hooked her, the whole idea of the show hooked her. And that's really what inspired her to take this on and bring this to America.
Now, you know, Lisa, you know, is going to be featured in one of the episodes of the series, as I understand it, and comes from a Jewish background, which I do. And, you know, I think it's very exciting. And I think, too, one of the beauties, I think, is the themes that have been chosen and the people that have been chosen for those themes. And, you know, just as an example, can you kind of run down the list of the stars that are being featured in the series?
Sure, absolutely. So Lisa Kudrow, like you said, Sarah Jessica Parker from Sex and the City, Emmett Smith, who used to be on the Dallas Cowboys, Spike Lee, Brooke Shields, Matthew Broderick, and Susan Sarandon. So those are the seven celebrities, and it starts on Friday, March 5th, so this Friday, and then it runs all the way through April, through the end of April. Well, I guess it ends the second to last weekend of April. You know, one of the things that I love about the show, to go back to your point about family history, healing, you know, schisms in families, is you get a sense of that in the show, that it means something to these celebrities, and they, you know, you'll have to watch the show to find out the details, but, you know, we've all experienced it as family historians, and to watch them experience the understanding of why people were the way they were, or what made them, what impacted maybe their ancestors' lives, and even people they knew, it's so revealing to watch this unfold on the TV screen, and it's pretty amazing. And so I definitely see, you know, the point that you're making earlier, absolutely, in each of these episodes.
Well, you know, that's been really my sense with this whole show through the course. It's almost going to be a year. I can't hardly believe it. In April that we've been doing the show. But, you know, it really is amazing how important. And I see genealogy as a healer. It is really has the capacity to heal issues that you may have had with your mother and your father, or, you know, your grandparents. It, you know, the more you understand, the more power you have to forgive. And forgiving is a healing process. And I think that, you know, what we do for a living and is a very exciting thing. What other people can do as a hobby, which is, I'm sure, how we all started, is also a very big part of the healing process of understanding who you really are.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that I see, too, and I think that the melting pot concept of the different themes that are going to go within this series is, you know, that no matter who we are, you know, we are going to have horse thieves, or we're going to have thieves. We're going to have people that, you know, have spent time in prison. We're going to have people who have murdered and people who have committed suicide. And we're going to find that no matter what family you come from and what you think your family is, that all these things that unfortunately do come to light when you start digging up records, you know, really, there's no family really untouched by some of these things.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I would say, like, personally, one of my favorite things about family history is understanding how I fit into history. We see that in this show. I mean, really, the show may be about celebrities, maybe a celebrity taking this journey, but it really is about ordinary people living through history, and it's America's history. It's you know, it's everything that America's been through has touched individual lives. And so when we watch these episodes, we see those important parts of American history touching these people's lives, these ancestors' lives. And it's history. It's not just the family history of Sarah Jessica Parker or the family history of Brooke Shields. It's America's history and how that history has affected this individual in this person's tree.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things, too, I think that everybody needs to understand is genealogy is not just collecting names, dates, and places. It really is collecting the essence of these people. And, you know, when you really get in and you start looking at these records, and we're going to talk about some of the records that are on Ancestry, because Ancestry.com is probably one of the premier sources of finding information and being able to see for yourself some of these records. But when you really see the census records, and the, you know, the records with people's signatures and death certificates and, things like this that one doesn't normally go hunting for. You know, you really, there's, I don't know how do you say this? It's an essence of a person that really comes out of these records, and it's if you allow yourself to feel that and sense that and, you know, pick up other information, you know, from these records, that you really do begin to have a new sense of understanding and being. And, you know, census records, you know, show not only, you know, the family groups, but, you know, the family groups that were living near each other and the occupations and, you know, all kinds of other information that, you know, sometimes we fail to, you know, even look at when we're doing our basic research. So, you know, in that vein, Anastasia, let's talk about some of the exciting things that, Ancestry's been doing to you make it easier, you know, for people to do research. I mean, I don't know. I think you're much younger than I am, but I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've cranked about. I'm starting to feel the results of the cranking of the microfilm machines in my shoulders and in my older age.
Yeah, I think if any of us who have been doing family history for more than 10 years know those days, and still, you know, still not everything's online, so we still have those times where we go up to and use the microfilm and crank the reader. But it is amazing how much is available online, and how easy family history can be, with, you know, and how it's just changed. You know, you think about the census, how you used to have to know where they were living to start looking at the census, but with the census being indexed and online, now you start with the census to see what you can learn. And I always use the example that my dad spent 20 years trying to find a family, one of our ancestors, in the census, because they were migrating across the country, moving every 10 years, and he found him after 20 years of searching. But when Ancestry released the 1920 census, I found them in literally 20 minutes. And I mean, it's just amazing what online resources and what technology has allowed us to do in family history. And so, just, you know, in the last month, one of the exciting collections that we launched are Vermont Vital Records. We have birth, marriages, and deaths from Vermont, and that includes images, so indexes and images, you know, starting for most of the 20th century. So that's an exciting collection.
Yes.
Connecticut divorce records from the latter half of the 20th century. What those are just, you know, index records. But even the great thing about indexes is, even if the record isn't online, it's enough information to help you, you know, you find that index entry, and then that's enough information to go and order that record. So it's not spinning through microfilm or email or mailing blindly to, you know, the county courthouse, how you know, or showing up, crossing the country and showing up at the county registers to see if they possibly have this death index. You know this death record, you know from an index that something does exist. So,
and to the 1950 new information, I think, is so very important, because, you know, until the 1940 census is released in, 2012, I think, is the date?
Yes, 2 years. We're coming down to 2 years on that.
won't
come fast enough, but absolutely. It just, you know, really, like the 1930 census is so amazingly helpful, and the city directories from the 1950s just add to being able to find your ancestors in the mid 20th century, because so often that becomes kind of a difficult place to research, just because of privacy laws and you know, which are absolutely understandable, but gets kind of difficult to trace your ancestors in the mid 50s. So city directories from the 50s help, you know, place them in gives an address, you know, so you'll know where they're living, sometimes even occupations, and things like that. And that's just so helpful. And we also have a collection of 1940s city directories that kind of do the same thing. So kind of a census substitute of sorts while we're waiting the next 2 years and then for the 1940 and the next 12 for the 1950. We can do a little bit of research before then.
Yeah, it does present a hole, and especially, you know, when you're dealing with some of the later immigrant ancestors. You know, if they didn't come till the 20s, and, you know, then all you've got is the 30s to kind of put them in perspective.
Yes.
So that does get a little difficult. And, you know, in the passenger and the immigration records, I mean, that has absolutely... you know, opened up a whole lot, lot more information for those who are researching immigrants that were very difficult to find. I mean, you know, and especially the Jewish research where the names were changing and things like that. So it's, you know, I mean, really, there's so much available today online that does make it easier. And, you know, part of the thing that most people don't know is how to get started. And, you know, I'm part of one of your newer projects, which is called Expert Connect. And, you know, that started up, I think, actively in July, end of June, July of 2009.
Yeah.
And, you know, why don't you kind of explain what the purpose of that is? Obviously, I know it very well, but...
yeah. Well, if I miss anything, you can jump in and make sure. well, you know, getting started, I have so many thoughts on getting started. There's, of course, lots of ways to get started, and Expert Connect is one way that people can get started, but it's not just for people getting started. I think it's for anyone along the journey of family history who might want a little bit of help. And so Expert Connect is a community of family history experts in all different genres of family history, where you can go on, kind of do a description of maybe the research problem that you have, or you know, you've hit a brick wall and you're trying to get back, you know, you're trying to find that passenger list so you can get back to Europe or the country where your ancestors came from. Or, you know, maybe you're just starting, or, you know, maybe you don't want to do the research. You want to pay someone to do it for you. So it's a place where you can go, put down, what project that you'd like to do. And then experts who are, you know, professionals in the field, experts in the field who have been doing this can bid on the project, and do the work for you and help you out in that way. So it's kind of a place for, genealogists who need some help and genealogists who have the answers to meet, and to, get their research completed.
Yeah, my experience has been, I guess, across that whole gamut, but probably more so in the brick walls.
Yeah,
is where I seem to, you know, get more involved, and where most of the individuals, because, you know, in today's world, I mean, all you have to do is go to ancestry.com and, you know, type in a name of someone, and, you know, if you have an idea of where they were living and who the family group members might be, it does get very easy to start to put together a family tree.
Absolutely.
And the other beauty of what you offer is that you don't have to go out and buy genealogy software today if you want to start a family tree. Down the road, if you decide that that's something you want to get more involved in, then by all means, you know, we suggest you do that. But, you know, you can begin to put together your tree and attach all the source documents that you find through census records. And, you know, as you progress, what we see from, you know, one of your providers' point of view is that it doesn't all flow very fluidly sometimes. And, you know, what we try to do as a provider is to try to open up and explain and find, you know, some of the reasons for why the things aren't as fluid as they do. And then, you know, one break in that brick wall and off they go again. So, you know, I am a proponent, and this is, you know, one of the reasons that I do like, you know, the Expert Connect project is, you know, I am a proponent that I think it's very important for people to do this themselves. That's the whole part and parcel, in my opinion, of learning about yourself is to do the research yourself. And so my interest level is not to get involved in doing all the research for someone, but, you know, to help them progress through their research. And if there is a brick wall, break it down. Or if there's, you know, another source that we have to go to that they may not know where to go, is to guide them in that direction. So, you know, the beauty of what they do offer is you have the opportunity to start your research and get to a certain point. And if you get into a little bit of a jam, that there are people out there that you can go to through the Expert Connect Project. They can help you, you know, move through those particular points. And, you know, that's, you know, I think, and it's an exciting project, and I think that it really rounds out some of the needs that people get into when they first get started. You know, my history, Anastasia, was the founder of Jewish Gen, and when I first started Jewish Gen back in 1986-87, which dates me terribly. You know, I was, it started out of my personal quest to learn more about my family, and not knowing where to go and where to start, and you know, and getting very brick walled, you know, because none of the resources that are available today were even vaguely available. You know, is that it started as a means for me to network with other people who were researching Jewish families, and to learn and to grow and to build you know, my own capabilities through there. So, you know, it's the networking and the, you know, the way to network and to be able to find people who can help you is, I think, very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about Expert Connect, and also about many of our other the tools on Ancestry.com, like message boards and things like that. And then even building a family tree on Ancestry, you can share that family tree with your family members and ask them to upload photos. And so I think the networking, you know, you definitely have networking with experts and getting that guidance, and, you know, whether it's somebody that you get to help actually do the research with you or for you, or even just getting advice, but even just seeing what your family knows. I mean, obviously, as family historians, we know how important it is to involve our family, and just an online tree makes it so easy that they can log on and see that. And I think it's also amazing, like, to your point about how, you know, Jewish Gen starting with, you know, you just as a way to network and to research your own family, that, I mean, how many times do we see that where somebody starts doing their family history, and then this amazing, you know, it's like personal reasons to do their family history, but this amazing public, more public-facing project comes out of that. And I actually think that this show is an amazing example of that. You have Lisa Kudrow, who, you know, it becomes so much more than just a personal journey to find her ancestors. It becomes this show that just really talks about the stories in people's trees and walks through, you know, kind of highlights what a little bit of what it takes to research family history. I mean, obviously, in an hour show with commercial interruption, it's not going to go a lot into the research process, but it's gonna ignite that spark, that interest of family history in so many people, including our family members, who, you know, maybe for once they'll be reaching out to you to ask you information about the family and what you know.
And, you know, the other thing that I mentioned earlier in the show, and I think is just phenomenal, and, I mean, I'm working with several clients right now, where, you know, these family members who are connected in some way, shape, or form with each other through, you know, marriage or however, you know, are all working together to try to solve their puzzle. And, you know, what one family member may know, the other family member may not know.
Yeah.
And to watch this whole process of them sharing not only with themselves but with me as a professional working with them is, you know, to watch all this information just kind of bubble up and my role at that point, as I see it, is to look at it and say, there might be a little something more to this than meets the eye.
Yeah.
So, that's where the professionals come in. And, you know, but those who are really good at seeing through things, I think you will enjoy this journey more than anything in the world because
you really can,
if you can look through what the document says and it's amazing what you can really see. And, it's a hard thing to explain to someone, but you know, if you're an investigator and you love to investigate things and you love to do that kind of work, then you'll love to do genealogy because it really is nothing more than investigating, instead of living people, you're investigating dead people, but you know,
yeah.
their trails, are in some cases, pretty hard to follow.
Yeah. Sometimes they can be. Especially when they go into different countries.
Well, different countries, Native American Indians, people who are running from the law, people who changed their names.
Yeah.
And, I think on my column this week, I wrote an article and you can get to my column from my website, www.susanekeing.com, about a researcher that was a client of mine on Expert Connect. And, we struggled because there was just no record of this individual from his marriage to the time he died or any time prior to that. There were only two records. And we were searching for a particular surname, and it turned out that somebody had their DNA tested with a totally different surname. It matched 36 to 37 markers.
Oh, my heavens.
And it turns out that they were able to find a Bible, a family Bible, that we had a Chandler Bible that had the dates of the Chandlers, which really wasn't their name. We had an Ellison Bible that actually had the representative listings under the name of Ellison. And it's amazing. So, our John George Chandler was actually John George Ellison, and it took DNA and family Bibles to put that one together.
Yeah, and I think that just goes to show that you never know what's out there and where it could possibly be. And just back to the point of networking, even when we were working on the research for the show, like, it was so important to talk to family members. And you see that in the show as well, that the celebrities will talk to members of their family and learn things that they didn't know about their family before. And it's just so indicative of what family history experience overall. Just, you want to go and you want to talk to your family members and what do they know, and just, or even people that you don't know who are just out there and how they can help you, like with this family Bible and the DNA that, what are the odds that those would have been found without that larger network effect?
Exactly. And, genealogy really, and you and I talked about this earlier, that, while Ancestry.com is really the premier site and where it's a wonderful place to go, it nor any one place is going to be your ultimate solution to solve any one particular genealogy problem.
Oh, yeah.
As I just mentioned, family Bibles are not found on online. Most of them.
Sometimes on eBay. But
so, it's just a matter of knowing where to look. Finding a family Bible is probably one of the first things one should do, is to make sure you interview and find out who's got the family Bible, if one exists, because it can be a telltale sign for anything that you want to do. Going back to the series, and I know that, we want people to watch these episodes because they are going to be pretty really interesting and mind-boggling and thematic. But yeah, I mentioned a few of the themes. You know, we've got what one that has some Salem witchcraft.
Yeah. Yes.
And slavery and immigration and military and, you know, what other kinds of themes, you know, would one might find in our history that might be highlighted during the course of this series?
You know, and it kind of goes back, you know, I touched on this a little bit earlier, but, you know, just the American experience. And so I think, you know, anything that you can think of that's the American experience, I mean, even immigration. And so when stories go outside of the United States, like, that even touches back to, you know, the American experience, because, you know, we may not, you know, if, you know, someone goes back to the homeland of their ancestors, and those ancestors' lives may not exactly correspond with American history, but at some point that family came to America. I mean, so you definitely those kind of themes. I mean, just you think about anything that can be like American, just urban research. You know, what is the quintessential American story? And that's just so broad in what it could be. And so we see touches of all those things in the episodes, and just even the general genealogy practices of, you know, finding out whose shoulders that you're standing on and what the people went through to get you to where you are today, and then some of the genealogy practices of, you know, talking with your relatives and finding out what they know and just taking things back one step at a time. So I think, you know, the episode will touch on a lot of those kind of themes.
You know, I'm almost convinced, and I mean, it's pretty funny, but I'm always convinced that anybody that was in America, you know, prior to the mid-1800s, you know, has some Native American blood in them. I mean, I have never seen so many people who have, you know, some sort of, Native American ancestry, and, you know, going back into this whole Mississippi, Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, up to Oklahoma, and been doing a little bit of research on that side, and it's really, you know, very mind-boggling for me, because that's not an area of real expertise, but it's an area that is of great interest, because, you know, it obviously affects a lot of people. I have been amazed.
Yeah.
At, you know, the numbers of people, and you know, and interestingly enough, I was watching CNN last night, and they were actually interviewing Dr. Gates about his series that's running on PBS, and one of the things that he mentioned last night that was very touching to me, actually, I just thought it was interesting, is that he said that if you went out and you did DNA testing on the NBA teams, the black members of the National Basketball Association, that 33% of them would have white blood.
Interesting.
And I just, it's something I thought that was, you know, very interesting that, you know, who do you think you are, you know, is, you know, kind of the whole thing, because, you know, when you go into DNA testing, and actually Bennett Greenspan's going to be with me next week on that topic, which I think is probably another just key topic for genealogy research, is we don't really know who we really are.
Yeah.
Until we participate in DNA testing. And that has become probably one of the most leading scientific proofs of who we really are. So and I remember, you know, 10 years ago, Bennett and I were sitting having dinner at a table, and he was explaining to me his whole idea of doing this genetic testing for genealogical purposes, and my mouth hung open. So, you know. So, you know, that's that is a whole nother ball game that is also very interesting. So it's genealogy has really taken some incredible turns, both the scientific and the internet and the whole technological industry, and has grown up on the internet. Ancestry is how old today?
Oh, what year are we? So we started our, you know, the website went online in 1997, but we actually started in 1984 as a publishing company. So we've been online for, you know, over a decade now, but truly the company's been around for, well, I think, are we 27? Am I doing my math right? Correct?
Yeah, because that's about how long I was involved in genealogy, I think in 1985.
Yeah.
And Jewish Gen became a Phytonet Echo in 1986. So, you know, the internet probably, I see it, and I think that Ancestry and some others, you know, have ridden the wave, have had an opportunity as a, you know, in this new information age to really take advantage of doing something really worthwhile to help people. By use of the internet, I mean it is a phenomenal tool for this particular type of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, in all honesty, it's you know, I agree with you. I think the timing is right for this. I think people are prime to learn about themselves. I think that you know, genealogy is probably one of the most incredible hobbies that one can get into, and it's one of the And it's a hobby that can be enjoyed with, you know, family members. And I cannot emphasize enough the importance of how of getting younger generations involved in learning more about their history. And, you know, one of the things, and Anastasia, you will probably feel the same way, is that when I went to school, history was just not my favorite subject. Nor was geography, nor was politics, nor was any of these things. And, you know, when I started to do my research, all of a sudden I had to start looking at, well, what was going on in that country at this time? And where in the world is reggae Curland, you know? I mean...
isn't that part of what's so amazing about family history is that it touches on so many parts? And then I guess my favorite part, and you'll see this a lot in the show, is placing your ancestors in that historical context, in that place and time, and understanding how that event, whatever that historical event may be, affected their lives. Which I, you know, like you hear about the Industrial Revolution, you know, you talk about, you know, in what high school you have to study the Industrial Revolution, and you might have not paid attention to that, but then when you start to understand, like, well, my ancestors, because of the Industrial Revolution, like, you know, this is, you know, this is how they had to work, you know, 12-hour days, 6 days a week. They didn't get any days off, you know. They had to move from place to place finding work. They had to start working when they were 6 years old, you know. Then all of a sudden the Industrial Revolution isn't this obscure thing in the past. Like, it has a meaning for you. And I think that's one of the amazing things about family history, and I think that's one of the things that people will get out of this show is seeing the ancestors of these celebrities in these everyday historical contexts and learning the story that's about their placement in that.
And in so doing, I think that people will probably get the itch to say, okay, I want to find out where I fit in.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, and then... The neat thing about this is that if you do get those kids involved, watch how they start to bloom in their history classes and their geography classes. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they want to know where grandpa was living and where is, you know, this particular county in Tennessee, or, you know, where is this particular town in Poland. And, you know, it becomes a whole new educational process that I've always wondered why we just don't include it as part of our educational process and have people take all these things that we have to learn and want to learn in school and be able to apply it to something personal.
Yeah, a hands-on history. And, you know,
it really is.
Kind of to that point, you mentioned how technology companies like Ancestry at Home and others have been riding this wave of technology and introducing family history. And I think that this show presents another wave of popularity in family history. I mean, I mentioned earlier that, you know, it has the potential to be as big as Roots was back in the late 70s. To me, that opens up great potential for the genealogy community, like all these genealogy societies that we have on the local level, and, you know, a state level and higher than that, to reach out to these people who have been sparked and this interest is sparked and, you know, find ways that they can harness that energy and introduce these people and guide them through family history. And I think that just is such a tremendous opportunity. And, you know, we have to know that some of the new people sparked about into interest of family history are going to be that younger generation where I want to know how I fit in. So I think this provides an amazing, maybe even unprecedented opportunity for genealogists and genealogy societies and other members of the community to really reach out and kind of transform what family history is and who does it and the age of who does it.
So you mean it may just prove that us genealogists aren't the crazy people in the world that like to deal with dead people, which is how I've been described for 30 years I've been in the industry. You know, why in the world do you want to deal with dead people all the time? So, you know... Maybe it'll mainstream some of the things that we do and really show it is what it really is. It isn't dealing with dead people, it's dealing with ourselves.
Oh, I think that's the perfect way to say it.
And understanding ourselves and understanding the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And, you know, they always say history repeats itself. If we understand, you know, some of what was going on in some of those lives, we can contextually see how things have changed and how the dynamics in families have changed. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it might not be a bad time for all of us to get back to our roots, so to speak. And that's maybe where we really are heading is you know, really getting back to the roots and the roots of you know, our ancestors and our families and you know, the spiritual lives that everybody, you know, led in one point or another, you know, and helping each other and, you know, families working together. And, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot to be said for what this might, you know, might be. It might be a different revolution of some sort.
yeah. And I think what you're describing, I think, you know, you mentioned earlier family history having the power to heal, and I really think it does, just to kind of bring the generations together and into one solidified whole. And what can we learn? What can we learn from the past? What can we learn from our past family, our current family, and what can we pass on to our future family?
And, you know, with the records online the way they are, I mean, it really is a fairly inexpensive hobby. I mean, while there might be monthly costs associated with it, I mean, nothing like the travel expenses to Salt Lake City some of us had to endure during those early days. I mean, you know... And traveling to the, you know, the courthouses and everywhere else we had to go just to dig up a record or two. You know, a subscription to Ancestry or any of the online services is, you know, fairly inexpensive when you consider what one spent in some of those early days. And being able to
considering unlimited, you know, you can use it once, you can use it in the middle of the night. You're not restricted to when the archives are open.
That's correct.
Don't have to fly to Germany.
And
for
Lord
me, that's
knows,
what I'd have to fly.
Yeah, Lord knows we've had to do that. And the connectivity is just really phenomenal.
Yeah.
So anything else we haven't covered?
I'm not sure. We're obviously at Ancestry. We're very excited about the show. We've been working on it for quite some time, but we think, it's an exciting show. To see the passion that each of these celebrities have about discovering their roots, it's inspiring to me. And I already, when I've watched the episodes, it makes me want to go and start researching my family tree again, even though I have been researching it for several years. But it's inspiring, and I think that, it's going to inspire those who haven't quite caught the spark. It's going to inspire those who currently are family historians, and it's about the story. It's not like you said, genealogy is so much more than collecting names, and absolutely, it's finding those things. But it's the stories, and that's what we're going to see in these episodes is the stories that are uncovered as these celebrities go on their journey of family history and self discovery and discover who they are.
Yeah, and there are some trailers, and I think that if anybody wants to go look on NBC site,
yes,
at www.nbc.com, and I believe there is a link to Who Do You Think You Are, and then several links down, they do have some trailers that you can actually see some of what these episodes are really all about. And some of the shock. I mean, there's a shock factor whenever you find something about a family member that you didn't know about.
Yeah. Yeah. And you see that with every single episode and even the early generations, they're finding out about people that they knew, they're finding out things they didn't know, which isn't that the experience we've all had with our family history? Is finding out even about, the grandpa you thought you knew, and you find out things about them, and you're like, really? How did I not know this? How did I not know this thing? And you see that in these episodes, just finding out things they didn't know about their family.
And, there are two sides to that from, and a lot of people, have said to me, well, I don't even know if I want to know. And, at the end of the day, you have to say, look, you have to forgive them, for what they did because, they did what they had to do at the time that they were living. Just like we make mistakes and we do some things that we may not want anybody to know at the end of the day. But, by knowing, you can actually heal. And, if you carry some of this stuff and the fear of knowing and the fear of, what would people think? Trust me, everybody's got them. Everybody's got them.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether you're the president of the United States or a celebrity or just, plain Mary and Jane out there. I mean, we've all got these stories. And the interesting thing is that learning more about these stories, it really helps you build your own life in a better way. Because if you can learn by other people's mistakes, you can, avoid making some of the same mistakes yourself.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So, genealogy. I think it's moving into a whole new generation of really excitement and mainstream, and I hope everybody that's out there will take the time to watch this series, Who Do You Think You Are? I hope you all decide to get involved in genealogy so that you can be saying, I know who I am. And Anastasia, thank you so much for your time and for being
thank
with
you.
Us here on Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. NBC. 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, starting Friday, March 5th. Who Do You Think You Are? An incredible series for all of us, whether we're genealogists or not. I'm Susan King. It's Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. Bennett Greenspan, next week. Family Tree DNA, some pretty exciting revelations coming to light. Can't wait to share it with you. We'll see you then.
You have been listening to Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect with Susan E. King. Each week we will focus on the spiritual journey of connecting ourselves with our ancestors. Join us every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific right here on BBS Radio. For upcoming show information, you can visit Susan's website at www.susaneking.com.